In a world where trust is shattered and darkness looms, one man's journey from betrayal to redemption will captivate your heart.
Absolutely.
Even if
absolutely.
You don't take them, if you have a relative that is a Christian,
yes,
allow them to take the kids.
I like that.
Because it's like, you may not want Jesus, but...
Thrown into a detention center, he grappled with the harsh reality of being imprisoned mentally and physically.
At that moment, I told myself, I'm not going behind bars no more.
Betrayed and deceived by the one he trusted most.
So now we're about to enter into this part of your life where you're cheated on.
It was rough for me. Bought teddy bears for her, flowers, and my heart just got squeezed and beat up on and crushed and stuck.
In the depths of his despair, he questioned God's plan.
I said, you don't know what just happened to me, Meg.
But amidst the darkness, a glimmer of hope emerged. He found solace in the teachings of a higher power. And in that moment, he discovered a new purpose.
Out with the old.
In with the new.
In with the new. The Holy Spirit came inside of me.
From being lost to salvation, this is the story of Nick. Coming soon, this summer on July 1st on YouTube and all podcast platforms.
God, please get me out of this situation for us, you know, me shaking, you know, but it was like, this all I had, this, I was dependent on that. So it was like, my faith was in man and not in God. Like, I would have to be there, because if I wasn't there, then where would I go? I didn't have a place to go. So it was at that time that I was like, God, just get me out of this situation.
Welcome to the Called by God podcast, a podcast where we share personal stories of faith and discuss the Bible teachings on salvation. I'm your host, Brother Nick. Today we have a special guest, Love Cooper, who will be sharing her testimony of how she came to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Sister Cooper will discuss her struggles before finding salvation and her faith impact on her life since then. Sister Love's testimony will remind us that no matter our past, God's love and grace are available to all who seek Him. It will also serve as a reminder that salvation is not just about getting into heaven, but also about the transformation that occurs in our hearts and lives when we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. So join us, or join me, as we listen to Sister Love's powerful testimony. Sister Love, how are you doing on this blessed day, my sister?
Hey there, hey. I am in faith today. Thanks for asking. How about yourself?
I am blessed by the best.
You know, my preacher say that. He say, oh, I'm blessed by the best. So I can't even complain. And you know my preacher all too well. So I'm doing the same thing. But I'm excited, as you know, to have you on this platform and just to talk to you about your call. And look, I'm not going to even waste much of your time. Look, I know our listeners, they probably don't know much about you, but they're going to know about you on today. So just tell our listeners a little bit about yourself before we dive into your show.
Okay, sure. Well, my name is Love Cooper. I live in Memphis, Tennessee. I worship at Northwest Church of Christ in South Haven, Mississippi. My pastor is Pastor Trey Beard. I have been there for a year and a half now, and I love it. I love it. I love it.
Amen. Hey, Sister Cooper, the world don't know this, but they are in for a treat. For me, you know, and we don't have Sister Adney with us, and Adney, you know, you will be missed on today. But I know Sister Cooper have a powerful testimony, because Lord knows the things that we had to go through to get you on the show.
Yes,
but we want to give God the glory for even having you.
But God.
So we're going to just dive into you. You know, enough of all the small talk. let's talk about the real stuff, right? Yeah, we live in a real world where people are seeking Christ. And some people don't even know how to come to Christ. And I believe in the power of a testimony. I always think about the woman at the well when Jesus Christ told her all that she did. And then, man, when Jesus Christ told all she did, she went into that town and she testified. Yes. So I know the power of a testimony. So with that being said, so before you became a Christian, what are some of the ups and downs that you may have experienced prior to Christ? However, if that's not your experience, if you were raised in the church, what is something you did that you believe was not in alignment with God's word before you came to Christ?
Okay. Well, some things that wasn't in alignment was shacking, drinking. I know that God, you know, drinking and getting drunk, that was my downfall, because I would just have to have a drink. I would need a drink. I would just have to get out, have to have the nightlife. Shacking, I did that for years, about 15 years. I did that. And that was being a teenager doing that. So, yeah. Bad language. I had I call it the potty mouth. I had a real bad mouth. Every word, or if not every word, every other word was a curse word. Every word was a curse word. That's all I knew, was just to cuss people out. Didn't matter what it was, what it was about, just a cursing tongue.
Yeah, I think even some of the things that you mentioned as far as like shacking, or even cursing people out. So that tells me you had a life without Christ. Am I correct? Or is this something that you probably seen in your neighborhood? Like, how? Because I guess the thing I'm trying to get to understand, I like to understand, is like, how do a person know that they're in the wrong? Because sometimes a person may be doing something wrong. They may be thinking it's right. So for you, how did you know shacking was wrong?
Okay.
What was that example that you could compare to say, you know, I'm in error? Was it the word of God, or maybe it was another family that you seen? Could you explain some of those dynamics?
Okay. So at the same time, while shacking and getting drunk, I was still in church. So I knew the word, but I wasn't in the word, if that makes sense. So, of course, I was still going to church. I've been going to church all my life. So, all while I'm going to church, I'm still shacking, and I'm going to church and I'm still drinking, but I didn't have a conscience about it. Like, I can do it. It wasn't something that I had to think that I would be in trouble for, because I knew I was going to get up and go to church, and after church or before church, we'd still, you know, be doing the same thing. Before going to church, I know I'm shaking, and then when I get out of church, I'm still shaking. So it was just like I'm doing the five acts of what I'm supposed to be doing on Sunday. I just knew that on Sunday I had to be at church, on Wednesday I had to be at church, but at the same time I was still living the double life. So I was in church, but I was in the world. But I just didn't know, I didn't have that understanding, if that makes sense. Because again, I knew to be at church on Sunday, but Saturday night, I knew I was going to be in the club Saturday night, or I was going to have my drink on Saturday night.
Yeah.
And then I knew on Sunday, once I got home from church, I know that I'm going back to this life that of the world.
So at any point, did the word even convict you to the point where you wanted to stop doing what you're doing? Because I know, like, some people when they're in that state, and that happened with me. So before I got even in the church, there was a point in my life I felt like I was just tired. I wanted a way out, but I just didn't know how. So for you, it's a little different because you was raised in the church.
Right.
So for you, you was going to church, getting your daily bread or weekly bread, but yet you were still shacking, cursing, going to the club and drinking. Did any part or a sermon or something that transpired in your life, and you just say, you know what, I want out of this situation? If so, what was that situation?
So the thing was, I wasn't convicted. So that's why it went on for so many years, because I never was convicted of what I was doing. And the fact that I wasn't convicted for it, it was like, it was okay. It's okay to shack, and it's okay to drink, and it's okay to live in the world. But you got to make sure you go to church too. So it was like everything was okay, but it really wasn't okay. And I can remember, like, as you know, time went by, I think I began to get tired of the shacking. And I remember many nights I would cry, because it was like, I wanted out. And it was like, I didn't have a way out. So my thing was, I used to pray, and I would ask God to get me out of this situation, because I had a relationship with God, because, you know, like I said, I was still in church. And I just remember I used to cry like, God, please get me out of this situation for us, you know, me shaking, you know. But it was like, this all I had, this, I was depending on that. So it was like my faith was in man and not in God. Like, I would have to be there, because if I wasn't there, then where would I go? I didn't have a place to go. So it was at that time that I was like, God, just get me out of this situation. But it was like, the more that I would ask God to get me out of this situation, I wasn't doing anything to get out of this situation, if that makes sense. I still was there. So it was like, you know, you have to, I realized you have to help yourself in order for someone else to help you. So at that time, it was like, I would just think like, what can I do to just get out of this situation? But I was young, you know, like I said, I was a teenager, going into my 20s. So this was the teenage life into the 20s, and just still just living that life, just being out there, living the life.
Going to church, were you saved, or you were just like a churchgoer? Did you get saved or come to the knowledge of the truth? Or you're just like going to church because your family wanted you to go to church?
Well, so that's the thing. I was going to church. I didn't get saved until I was about 12 years old. And at that time, I didn't understand the meaning of, you know, of that. My reasoning for doing that was because I just wanted the juice and crackers. So I got baptized, not knowing what I was getting baptized, like the meaning, like, you, what is the reasoning that you're getting baptized? I didn't have that knowledge of that. So when I went for to get baptized, my thing was to get baptized was, you know, to take the Lord's Supper. That was my reasoning. But until I got older, and when I got, you know, in fully knowing why did I get baptized, I recently got baptized again, April the 28th, to be exact, of last year. I got baptized again because I then understood why to get baptized. So I got rebaptized because I didn't understand then, but I understood now.
Wow, that's very interesting, because I've heard that before. I had countless of individuals come on my show, some of which that was raised in the church. Mm-hmm. And I think it was a couple of them said the same thing, that they got baptized at a young age due to the juice and crackers. They call them juice and crackers, but we call that the Lord's Supper.
Right.
But you did mention you end up getting baptized, 2022. And that's interesting too. And yes, you can get baptized a second time. So that's in the Bible, just in case if anybody is listening, be like, hold up, she got baptized two times. Yeah. You could get baptized another time. So I guess my question to you is like, what was that moment or event in your life that led you to fully commit to that? Like, because that's a 30-year gap. Because if you got baptized, what, at 1992? Mm-hmm. Right? Yes. In 1992 Absolutely. Or so. And so 1992 to 2022, that's a 30 year window.
Yes.
So for 30 years, you was playing church for 30 years.
Exactly. That's exactly what I was doing. I was playing church because, again, I still didn't know what was the reasoning of getting baptized. And I heard sermons and, you know, just being in church and, you know, listening to the ministers preach and like, you know, I've been baptized. So, but it was until I got like that shepherd that shepherded me and was, I want to use the word, the knowledge was giving me knowledge and wisdom, you know, to know, like, is what is your reasoning for get baptized? You know, we look at the five acts, but what reason did you get baptized? What was your reasoning for it? So after I got the knowledge and the understand, like all these years, I didn't even know like that was the reason. Like you're getting baptized for the remission of your sins. And, you know, people were well, not people, but myself, they didn't know that. And it took me to my 40s, which I am 42 now. So last year, which 41, to know this is your reason for getting baptized. So all this time.
So was it the word that convicted you?
It was the word.
Oh, got it.
It was the word. It was the word that convicted me. And that's why I was so adamant. My daughter, she's 8 years old, and she wanted to get baptized. And I didn't want her to get baptized for the same reason that I got baptized for. And so when I asked her, I was like, why do you want to get baptized? And she said, because I want to be a part of God's family. I was like, ooh. That beats my reasoning for being baptized.
Wow.
30 years ago.
Right, right.
So, you know, I talked with my pastor, and he was, you know, doing some studying with her. Well, he asked her, like, you know, what was her reasoning? And, you know, he gave her a little bit more time. And then I just kept on going back to him. I'm like, I think she's ready. I think she's ready because, you know, but my pastor, he didn't want to just do it just, you know, and she wasn't ready. And I think if I had got that back then, instead of just getting in the water, like, because if they had asked me that 30 years ago, what are you getting baptized for? And I would have told them then my reason. And then they probably would have never dipped me in that water. Because my reasoning was not because, you know, to be a part of God's family or, you know, of any of that nature. And so, you know, the question was asked again, like when it was time for her to get baptized, and Pastor Beard asked her, do you know why you want to get baptized? And she's for the remission of her sins. So she knew her reason and why. Mm. And I think when you know why and the reason, then why not get baptized?
And you didn't have the same knowledge or intellect as your daughter did when you was around her age, right? To understand what you're doing.
Right.
But you know what? I believe that these kids are more wiser because there's so much a wealth of information now, nowadays. So I believe they're more enhanced when it comes to knowledge. Mm-hmm. But I want you to take me back to your baptism because I like when people get baptized because I look at baptism as a marriage. I don't think it's just about getting dipped in the water and that's it. Because I believe it's something spiritual that happens when someone, individual, are you know, get into the water. Of course, you get gifted with the gift of the Holy Spirit. So let's take a trip back to your baptism. So when you got baptized, what was some of the spiritual dynamics that you felt happened post baptism? And what I mean by that, because we know that when Jesus Christ got baptized, the Spirit led Jesus to go into the wilderness. I want to know, like, did you have those same type of spiritual dynamics where here you got baptized, now you have a sense of discernment, clarity. Now your calling is more enhanced and you know, you're starting to identify what your purpose is. did you get tried in a sense as our Lord did, how when he went in the wilderness, did you have a wilderness moment post-baptism?
So this after I knew what I was getting baptized for, when I actually went down in the water and came back up, it was like totally, I just felt different, if I can say that. It was like, it took me back to my first time. And then it was like, but this time it's like totally different. And so after I got out that water, it was like, I got to go and be a disciple now. I got to go and spread the news and spread the word and let people know that, you know, that there is a God and he is real. And, you know, like for people to actually give their life, like, and know what you're giving your life for. And then not only that, if I might just add, being in Jerusalem, I got dipped off in the Jordan River. So that feeling just like, that was speechless. That was breathtaking. That was, like people ask, like, how did it feel to get baptized in the Jordan River? It was different. As a matter of fact, it was different all three times. So it was different from...
That's on my bucket list.
Yes, the bucket list. Yes, it was different all three times. The first time, you know, I just got in the water. Like, I feel like a swimming pool because I was young. The second time, I had knowledge. I knew what I was doing. I knew the reasoning for it, you know, behind it. And then this third time, getting baptized in the Jordan River, they just made a seal to, like, ooh. It just made a, like I said, speechless.
And I want our listeners to go back and listen to a Real Talk with Sister Roz. Sister Cooper did a whole series of her documentary when she went to Jerusalem. Yes. But Sister Cooper, I have a real audience, and I have to ask you this question because I've been beating around the bush, and I don't want to beat around the bush. Because you know what? The truth of the matter is that you got baptized at 11. You took 30 years. You was playing church for 30 whole years. I'm sure at some point, someone in my audience or my listeners saying, like, okay, but what happened? They say, Nick, it's like I could hear them right now saying, Nick, what happened to her? How did she make that U-turn? What happened? So I'm going to ask you that question. I know the good part, the hallelujah part, is that you get baptized, you're saved the second time, you're filled with the Holy Spirit, and now you're on a mission and you understand your call. That's the good part, right? But the real question is, hello world, this is the end of part one of Sister Cooper's episode. Stay tuned for part two. Be blessed and remember that Jesus Christ loves you. That's it for now. But before we go, please continue to listen, subscribe, and share our podcast. Also, if you want to support our show, please scroll down to the bottom of the show notes and click on the link that says Buy Me a Coffee. We would greatly appreciate it. Thank you for listening. And remember, God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good. And also, Jesus Christ loves you. Thank you. Wait, there's more. What if today was your last day on earth? Would you be ready to meet your maker? Well, Jesus Christ has given us the good news. He told his disciples in Mark 16:15-16, and he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned." Jesus Christ has instructed his children to share and preach the gospel, which is the good news, which means that Jesus Christ came and that he was sacrificed, he was buried, and he rose on the third day. By believing
And by repenting and confessing and being baptized, you will be saved. So it is your choice. Jesus Christ will not force you. You've heard the message. You heard personal testimonies. But this is your opportunity to give your life to Christ. Don't wait until tomorrow, because tomorrow is not promised. So I hope you submit to the will of God and give your soul to Christ. Be blessed.